Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Conscious responsibility to God, responsibility to you, and even to myself, demands that this lesson be brought. It comes upon the heels of much prayer and serious thought and preparation. And I bring it with a heavy heart because some are to be rebuked for what you are doing. I seek only your spiritual good and your salvation and the welfare of the church of the Lord. We are stewards of God, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, and this includes stewardship of the gospel. We must be loyal to it, dependable, standing with true allegiance in the truth and firm in adherence to the teaching of the Bible. None of us would profess perfection, even though this is that for which we strive. Many of us fall and we stumble, but we get up and we press on. I am speaking to you about an open, public, deliberate, repeated transgression that ought not be found in the life of one who professes to be faithful to God's truth. 1 John 3 and verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." This does not mean that it's impossible for us to sin. It means it is inconsistent, it is incompatible for one who is born of God to continue in sinful ways. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Friends, when we deliberately disobey God's teaching, to what else or to whom else can we turn and expect to be saved? We will have defied the only hope that we have. Now, some sin in ignorance. Others sin because they are untaught. And while this explains why some sin, it does not justify it. But others sin knowingly, having been taught. They deliberately pursue sinful ways in spite of all. And this is what is taking place among so many, by young people particularly, and condoned and even encouraged by some parents. You may seek one's removal from the pulpit after preaching a lesson like the one that is to follow. I hope the truth is not offensive to you. If that be the case, then the truth will just have to offend you. One cannot shirk his responsibility to God as a preacher of the gospel and look away when brethren make our own way without God. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death," Proverbs 14:12. Mankind, without the divine direction that God has provided, is like a flock of sheep, being scattered about, without a shepherd, subject to whatever might fall upon it as prey. In life, people are often buffeted, not knowing how to go or which way, unable to make the decisions that must be made, having values that are twisted and distorted. Man is not able to set his own standards and be happy. He cannot even know by himself what is and is not of value. Without God's standards, without God's values, he cannot make intelligent and proper decisions. History is lined with the remains of those who have sought to live life without God, and their story is failure upon failure in things that matter. Now, we have the need to know God and the need to do good. And without God's revelation and without Christ, his Son, we can neither know God or even know the difference between good and evil. Christ came to reveal God to mankind. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Christ not only came to teach us the way that we should go, he is the way we should go, John 14:6. Living a perfect life, he is the qualified one to direct mankind in the way that he should live, because he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We live properly only as we walk in the footsteps of the Son of God. Now, the way that the Lord walked, the way that we are to pursue, that is revealed to us in God's holy word, the Bible. Isaiah 42:16, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. As the psalmist had said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He also said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The psalmist wrote again, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Order my steps in thy word. Friend, it is not that man cannot know the way he ought to go. God has given the instruction that we need. How tragic that so few have the hunger and thirst for his will and will learn and perform his will in life as God has intended. Can we expect the joys that God has offered if we do not walk the way that he has directed? We need to understand with whom we are dealing. It is not man, but God. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21 warns us of those things that are the works of the flesh. And the things that are the works of the flesh will mean that those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now Paul said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, Galatians 1, 11 and 12. So when we're talking about the matter that we have under consideration in this lesson, we're dealing with the Word of God. Now I want to say to young people that I have nothing but love in my heart for your souls. I have worked with young people, taught them, been with them, or sympathetic toward them. I know them, and I would go to any honorable length to save their soul. And to the parents of the young, I want to say that I respect your position as a parent, and have admired parents, and been in homes, and enjoyed the hospitality of parents with young people. And I count them as friends, and I count them as brethren. But when either you or your young defy the teachings of God, I must show my love for you by telling you of your transgressions so that you can make things right. When you disobey God, you are not being a loyal Christian. And I want to say to those who are elders and deacons and Bible class teachers, more than others in the church, you set the standards, you set the example, you have the duty to uphold the truth of God. You cannot be unmindful or shirking in your responsibility, for if you are, you become guilty of sin. Many young people, their parents, even families of elders and deacons, they sin and have disobeyed God time and time again by attending, partaking of, supporting, encouraging, condoning, and allowing the modern dance. In doing this, you are like the world. You are not like Christ. The congregations are not untaught, not faithful churches. People cannot plead that they are not accountable. People have been begged and have been persuaded to follow the will of the Lord. This matter has been repeatedly explained before Christian people. Yet some willfully, deliberately, defiantly stand against the teaching of God. When you do, you are revealing your worldliness and your rebellion against the truth. The Word of God teaches that you have sinned and you are doing that which is in violation of His will. As Nathan said to David, thou art the man. When one dances, plays at the dance band, decorates for the dance, promotes, sells tickets to it, or whatever, you're contributing to the encouragement of a sinful practice. Parents who encourage and condone it and do not restrain their children from it, likewise are guilty of sin. A sizable number of members of the church have thus defied the teaching of the Bible and they have brought reproach on the cause of Christ openly and publicly. Now, deep in your heart, you know that what I am saying is the truth. We often seek defenses and excuses for doing what is wrong. Parents seek to justify their permissiveness toward their children. Some will say, well, it's no worse than other things, and far less evil than some other things, or, I'm not the only one, others are doing it also. And so goes the efforts of those in sin to justify sinning. But there is not one that can defend the practice of the modern dance. If they could, they would have tried it a long time ago. There's no defense for going and doing what the Bible condemns. It is not my intention to give an extensive proof just now as to why dancing is wrong. This has been done over and over, publicly and privately, in classes, through tracts. I'm simply pleading with you to obey God. And when you dance, you do not reflect Christ, you reflect the devil. The question before us is this: are we convinced that God's way is best? Do we believe God's way is true and right? Are we willing to abide by His infallible word? That's the sum and total of this entire matter. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6 commands us, Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Those who dance, those who permit it, you're not following the tradition and the teaching given by the apostles. Here is your sin in a word. It's disorderly. Paul said we're to withdraw from such if they will not turn from it. It matters not whether one be prominent or popular or powerful or whatever. God is no respecter of persons. Some love the Lord's word enough to actually obey this apostolic direction. We wonder if the church where you attend loves the Lord's word that much. This matter has been dodged and neglected and bypassed and covered up long enough. The way of sin is becoming the norm. We must decide whether God rules or whether the social aspirations of a few who sin shall dominate. And again we say, those of you who dance, who support it, who promote it, who condone it, you show disrespect to God and to your brethren. You are a disgrace to the church. You exhibit a bad example. Your influence is detrimental, and you are undermining serious injunctions of the Word of God. Young people whose parents have disapproved of the dance, but who dance anyway, can add to their dishonor and their disobedience to parents. We cannot overcome evil by partaking of it, brethren, or ignoring it, or compromising with it. Only by doing good, Romans 12:21. Paul tells us to be lights in the world, Philippians 2 and verse 15. How can one do that when he walks in the darkness of the world? Who is at fault in this matter of willful and continued sinning by participating in the modern dances? Well, young people who attend are at fault. They know better. Parents who allow it are at fault. And there are parents who stand against the truth, undermine what is taught at the assemblies when they get home. And then they wonder why their children do not have respect for the church or for the Bible. Preachers in some churches lie to others, telling them it's all right, that it's just an innocent pastime. They are at fault. They are false teachers and deceivers, playing to the worldly minded that they might be popular. Some elders are at fault who do not stand with the truth, even if it is a matter that involves their own families. Certainly the pressure of the schools and the teachers and the society and clubs, the social set, are really not too concerned with God's wishes anyway, but they all bear responsibility. It is not too difficult to assign and locate the blame, but correction must come from those who have violated God's teaching. Galatians 6 and verse 1 reads, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. James wrote in James 5, Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. I come admonishing you as your brother in Christ. I entreat you with love for the truth and for your soul. Give up this practice and persist in it no longer. Stand with God and stand with those who are faithful to His Word. Repent of your sin and confess it and ask God to forgive you. Resist the temptations to ever be involved in it again. Do not wait until you see what others may or may not do. Do not let pride stand in your way. To one and all who have been in error in this matter, we make the fervent plea that you will turn today and sin no more in such fashion as to be a participant of the modern lascivious dance. And if you think you have a defense for dancing, bring it forward. We have asked for it many times, openly and publicly, repeatedly, and no one even tries to defend it, standing on the Word of God. And lacking biblical defense, be honest with yourself, and with God, and with your brethren, and recognize it for the sin that it is. I plead with you to leave it off, and do not allow it to continue to be a part of your life. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.